You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm excited to be here with another edition of our show. Glad to be here live with you today on Thursday. We're almost through the week, so looking forward to finish it up, and I hope all of you have some exciting weekend plans with friends, comrades, or family. And I'm joined today with Sven Longshanks as my co-host. So, Sven, let's kick things off with, first of all, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, Matt. Thanks for having me on your show once again. Just to give a current news report, I mean, at the moment, all week, it's still talking about Calais and what's going on there. I know we covered it last week with the quote-unquote child migrants that all looked like they were in their 20s. Google face recognition actually said they were all over the age of 25. But we've still got people. Yeah, we've still got people insisting that they really are children, and they've just accelerated their growth because they've come from a war zone. But I was just checking through recent reports today, and five of these Syrian quote unquote children have already raped one British girl in a children's home. And what are they doing in a children's home if they supposedly need to come to Britain because they've got family in Britain? They clearly didn't have family in Britain because they got put in a children's home in Kent, and straight away they raped a young girl there.
It's absolutely horrific to be able to understand with this supposed refugee crisis. If you have grown men masquerading as children to be able to help jump the line, then the case you're talking about with a gang rape, I mean, that's a sexual assault would be horrific enough, but for a young girl to be gang raped, and it's specifically because you're taking grown men and putting them around children from this different culture, different religion, incompatible. They shouldn't be there in the first place, and they're lying to be able to get in quicker, to be able to jump the line. As generous as the UK and Europe has been when it comes to refugees, they want more. They want more things. They want better treatment. They want faster access. And the first thing they do, I mean, that is an absolutely horrific story to be able to hear, of a young girl not just being raped and sexually assaulted, which of course is happening, as we've seen in Cologne, we've seen throughout Europe, absolutely horrific, but a gang rape right when they get there, that really just goes to show that, ideology aside, there's a human component to this, that Angela Merkel in Germany is responsible for what happened in Cologne, and the Labour and the Conservative politicians that are letting this refugee flood come in, that the blood of the murdered and the beaten and the tragedy of a young girl being raped and countless others, the blood and guilt is on the politicians' hands for bringing these people in here in the first place and not protecting their own faith, family, and folk.
Well, yeah, they are complete traitors. Just by bringing them in here, they are complete traitors. And the real worry is you've got Angela Merkel, who's female. You've got Theresa May, who is female. Hopefully Clinton won't get in, but if she gets in, that's another female. The problem is they think emotionally, you know, they don't think logically. They don't think, well, hang on a minute, these people have come from a war zone. They're going to be used to raping, murdering, pillaging. They don't think like that. They think, oh, well, they've come from a war zone. Oh, the poor dears, we must look after them. Now, this is the reason why they instantly hear, well, we've got children there, unaccompanied children, and where we've got women in power, they think, well, they immediately must need looking after. The mothering instinct kicks in. We've also got Amber Rudd, who's our Home Office Minister. Again, a woman again. Now, these people know that these quote-unquote Syrians aren't under 18. They actually turn down an offer of experts, age recognition experts from the social services, and they actually turn them down and said, oh, no, we don't actually need them. And these rapists that were in this children's home, the police have said, well, they claim to be under 18. So they're already insinuating that they're not under 18, but they've been put in a children's home. And as you say there, Matt, We've been so generous to these people. We've taken them into our country. We've fed them. We've clothed them. We've given them all the benefits that we would give to our own orphans. And that's the way they pay us.
And things we don't even give to our own people. And that's like here in the United States with the illegal immigrant issue that we've seen so often. You know, right now they're still battling in Congress for coal miners who were given health care, now might lose their health care Congress doesn't act and free up more money. They're saying there isn't any money. There's always money for more wars. There's always money for other things, but there's not money for our people. But the idea of illegal immigrants coming into our country and legal immigrants being able to get on welfare benefits, to be able to get better treatment than our veterans, better treatment than our unemployed, better treatment than our orphans, better treatment than our families, the very citizens that our politicians swear an oath to take care of. This is a betrayal. These people are traitors to their own people, to their own constituents that they're supposed to be fighting for. They're actively betraying them and taking what little our communities have to offer, and they're giving it to foreign people who are then repaying us with murder and rape and violence and social disunity and terrorism. This is happening in France. This is happening in Germany. It's happening in the UK, and it's happening in the streets of America, because this is what globalist policies of multiculturalism do. And our politicians are traitors to our people because they put the best interests of the international elite, these international bankers, these Jewish oligarchs, and they put more interest in their policies of destroying our nations and communities than they would ever consider of actually standing up and fighting for the people that they swore to protect and to struggle for. And That's all I can say is that our politicians in Western Europe and in America, through and through on both sides of the aisle, are traitors to their people. And they are the ones, as I said, that are responsible for the violence against our people, like, you know, these rapes, these sexual assaults, the terrorism, you know, families in France being run down as they're trying to be able to celebrate Bastille Day, being run down in the streets by people that shouldn't have been there in the first place, that all of this ends up resting on their hands and their heads because they've betrayed their own nations.
Well, wait till you hear about President Hollande's answer to Calais then, the reason why all this is happening. He's decided that to solve the problem in Calais, what he should do is export 50 migrants to every town in France. So it's pretty much basically, you got a load of noise there coming from your end, Matt. It's basically just...
Oh, I apologize. I apologize about that. The tech problems, as always. But the resettlement, I've been reading about that. The resettlement of taking the problem of the Calais jungle and taking it to every town in France. What we need is more multiculturalism. We need more refugees everywhere so everyone can share in the wonderful benefits of terrorism, rape, and murder. Truly, President Hollande is a paragon of virtue in that case.
it's like cancer. It's like a cancer metastasizing, spreading it right the way across France. 50 monkeys from the jungle exported to every town in France, and they have to take them. And according to our politicians, we have to take a certain amount here as well. And this is down to this Jew, Lord Dubs, that we talked about last time. And I've done a bit more digging into that. And it's not just Syrian refugees that we have to take in. Apparently, it's any unaccompanied migrant whose life will be better off in Britain than where he is. And of course, life in Britain is better off for any of these migrants, no matter anywhere else they are in the world. And life in Britain is better off for them, for anybody that's living in the Middle East or living in Africa. So thanks to this Lord Dubs getting this law passed through because he was a poor unaccompanied Jew on the kinder transport, we now have this girl raped in our childcare centre. These children that should be safe because they've been taken from their own families and put in childcare centres by the government, and then they get raped by foreigners in there because this foreign Jew has advocated for us to allow these unaccompanied minors into our country. He wasn't advocating for them to go to Israel, just advocating for them to come to Britain. I mean, it's total treason, Matt. These politicians are so treasonous in their actions against the indigenous British people, and not just in Britain. The same thing's happening in France, same thing's happening in Sweden and in America. Now, I mean, there was one piece of good news this week, and it's actually to do with royalty. The Danish Queen spoke out against it. I think this is the first time we've actually heard the royalty speak out on this subject. And she said, well, just living in Denmark doesn't make you a Dane. Which, of course, goes, that goes completely against everything that we've been told. I mean, the magic soil, as soon as they land in Europe, they're exactly the same as everyone else in Europe. The new Swedes and the new Scots, well, she wasn't having any of that.
Well, and that's also to be able to see the old aristocracy, because so often the monarchs of Europe have either abdicated their positions or have become agents of the New World Order, have been doing the bidding of their own people, that they are sworn into office by the church, that have a God-given responsibility of a noble's obligation to their own people. So to be able to hear that that the queen is speaking out against this is such an important thing, because it just goes to show, I mean, we've been seeing more clergy, especially in Eastern Europe, coming out and talking about demographic displacement is wrong, that Europe is a Christian land and cannot be fall either to secularism or to other foreign ideologies, that we need to get back to our traditions. So I think we're seeing this rise of people that have an obligation and a duty to their people. The clergy and some of the nobility, some of the natural aristocracy is returning to understand what we already know in the working class. We already understand if you're a blue collar worker, you know what's going on when it comes to your wages being cut, when your opportunities are being destroyed, and where you're facing violence in the streets. And then in places in Europe, all over Europe, pretty much, you've been disarmed. You're not able to defend yourself or your family. And here in the United States, cities like Chicago, you know, we've got party members that are Polish, that live in Polish neighborhoods in Chicago, and they are denied the ability to defend themselves in Illinois. They can't get a concealed carry permit to defend their families. So there's entire sections of their city, even near to where they live, they tell me they don't feel safe going out. And it makes sense, because places like Chicago, you know, its nickname now is Chirac, because there's more violence and more deaths happening in Chicago than there are of American soldiers in all of the combat zones we're in put together. You know, it's absolutely horrific. Thousands of people being gunned down the streets, and gang violence, drug violence, and just rampant violence against normal everyday citizens, especially whites who are being ethnically targeted. So it's good to be able to see some of those that were sworn to protect the people coming back to it a little bit. But you know, the suffering that our communities are facing, it isn't a question to anyone. We already know this, and we suffer through it every single day. And it's these champagne elitists, these champagne socialists, these people that want to be bootlickers of the oligarchs, that put the best interests of the oligarchs ahead of the people they're sworn to protect. And it happens day after day after day, where people are dying in the streets. People are losing everything that they have. They're having their families torn to pieces. This human element cannot be forgotten, because what we're struggling for as nationalists is the future of our people, and for them to be safe and them to be healthy and them to be able to have a place to raise their children. And that human element, I think, is just so forgotten so often, because as you were mentioning, when you were talking, that if refugees should be able to come into Britain, come into Europe, just because their life might be better off, what about what's good for the people that actually live here, that are from these areas, that are facing being placed under a boot heel economically, socially, and demographically? What about what's best for them?
Well, they don't seem to care about that at all, because wherever you import the third world to, that you suddenly get a massive spike in the crime rate. Anybody that comes from that jungle camp is going to be used to living a life of crime. If they have actually come from war zones, then they're going to be used to being at war. You know, they're going to be the equivalent of child soldiers. I mean, we had this rape in Britain, but just last night in the jungle itself, there was a gang rape. There was a girl raped. And of course, they also burnt the place down, which is something that we regularly see happen. Whenever the Negroes get all riled up, they always burn the place down, whether it's Ferguson in America or villages in Africa.
But I was watching PBS last night because our party was featured. And in a previous segment talking about Calais, they actually had a representative there say, oh, well, that's just their culture. That's something they do. They literally, as they're talking about having to put out fires everywhere that was destroying property, they literally said, the official representative stating that burning down the camp was just part of their culture, so that makes it okay.
Well, they've been telling us over here it was a protest. It was activists that did it. It was activism. And that made me think, well, this is the same activism that we see Black Lives Matter doing, isn't it? burning things down. It's the same activism that we saw happening in South Africa when they would put tires around people's necks and set fire to them and then burn the place down. You know, there's some kind of fascination that the African Negro has with burning down his surroundings. Of course, it doesn't matter so much when you're in Africa. You're just burning down a dung hut or a Watland daub hut. You can just put up a new one easily enough. That if you burn down whole regions like they do in America and in Britain, it costs millions to put them back together again. I mean, it was just the most recent one in Britain was in Croydon when they burnt that down. We've had riots and burnings down before, and obviously the burning down in Ferguson a while back. I'm not sure. I can't even recall any more that have happened since then. But it's such a regular occurrence that they do this. They destroy their own surroundings and then claim that this is a protest against them being oppressed, and then they get given new surroundings. So we saw last night that this is what they did in Calais, that they burned it down. And it's not the first time that's happened. And another thing that I've noticed is the way that it's been portrayed on the television. The BBC have actually been calling these squatters in this shanty town residents. They've never called the actual Calais French residents that have had their lives ruined. They've never been called residents. You know, they're just called, well, the people who live in Calais aren't very happy with it. If ever we hear of them, but the people that are living in this illegal shanty town are being called residents, and the only reason that they're there is because they're plotting to commit a crime. You know, it's like that's their hideout. They're sitting there plotting to hijack a lorry and steal into Britain, break into Britain illegally, and then steal what they can from the British state, either in benefits or in black market.
Or an outright crime.
Or just out and out crime, yeah. You know, just out and out crime. Maybe they can turn some of the women into sex slaves or the human trafficking. But that is literally all it is. It is a centre for crime. And yet we're being told that we should be feeling sorry for these people and they're refugees. We're refugees that go to the nearest country.
Subsidizing them. I mean, everything they're doing, that the people don't belong here. And you know, as you mentioned, talking about tactics, I think it's important to note that whether it's these refugee, activist groups, whether it's Black Lives Matter here in the United States, all the money always ties back to Jewish oligarchs. That the tactics are the same. The chants are the same. They might be translating different languages, but the chants are the same. Their ability to get, this positive media coverage to slant everything, the sympathetic politicians, all of the strategies being used in America are being used in Europe and vice versa. And all the money always ties back to these Jewish oligarchs that are funding these movements, that are trying to demographically displace Europeans in whatever country we live in, that they're trying to dismiss our political concerns. And they don't care. They actively revel in when we suffer. So I think that's important to always note, that the tactics are the same, the talking points are the same, the propaganda is the same on both sides of the Atlantic, because it's being funded by the same group of people.
Well, yeah, George Soros is involved with it, with his Calais jungle. And you've also got the celebrities going over there and making a big fuss about it. And of course, you know that they live in these rich areas. In America, they've been gated communities. But here they're in the posh villages that are nowhere near the city, where they don't actually have to put up with any of this. And they go over there to the jungle and they pour out these tears on the camera. We had this Lily Allen horrible creature going over there last week and bawling her eyes out and saying how embarrassed she is to be British because we're not taking in all of these refugees. And it's the same in America and all over. It's exactly the same as Donald Trump says. The media is controlled by these groups, by George Soros, and all these celebrities are as well. They all sing to the same hymn sheet. You will not hear a celebrity talking about the plight of the white British working class that is being displaced by these foreigners. You will never hear that. All they will
ever
talk about
is refugees.
Because
if they did, they would no longer be celebrities. I mean, as we all just know, Mel Gibson is a great example. You speak a little bit of truth about who supports and finances all the wars in the world, and then you're cut out of Hollywood for the next decade. And he's only just climbing himself back in. It's because of the quality of his work as a director, and it's absolutely so amazing going against these the Jewish Hollywood oligarchs that it's taken still a decade for him to do that. He's one of the biggest stars. But if you say anything that goes against the system, what the approved talking points are, then you're instantly going to be, you know, no longer be a star. They're going to do whatever they can to be able to drive you out. So I think you're 100% right. These actors are just playing a different role. These massive celebrities are just playing a different role for their masters. They know who signs their paychecks. So they're going to go and do whatever they want to promote their agenda because they want to keep working. They want to keep the millions. They want to be on the tabloids. So it doesn't matter if what they're doing is right or wrong. I don't even think they think about that. I think they just think about themselves in this materialist culture that we have on what it's going to take for them to be able to get more money and more fame for themselves, even if they're selling out their own people. I mean, they're traitors too.
Well, the ridiculous thing is, I mean, they are the ones that are going to be replaced by them as well. We've already seen this. We've already seen people being sacked from the BBC, not because they're not good enough at their job, but they're white, basically. They've even said that. You're being sacked because you're white, and we need to have a black or ethnic minority candidate to take your place. So these celebrities that are calling for this, they are eventually going to be hit by this too when they get told, well, we need 20 or 30% of the cast has to be black. So that means we can no longer employ you. And they're just going to have to suck it up. And they are the ones that have brought this on. You know, they've brought this on themselves. So they really are. They're going to be paying for it themselves fairly soon enough. It would just be nice to hear just one celebrity actually speaking out for the British people, speaking out against this invasion. And this is why it was so good to hear the Danish Queen speaking up for us. Because we rarely hear anybody of the aristocratic bent actually even commenting on it. You know, the royalty in Europe is not allowed to say anything about politics. So it is really quite a one-of-a-kind moment to have the Queen speaking up about that. Denmark has had the same problems that that the rest of Europe is having. They've actually said that they were going to be searching any quote-unquote refugees to see if they had any valuables if they came in, because they were coming in with phones and computers and all the rest of it, and then signing on to the benefits straight away. It is quite clear that all this is a scam, and Britain and the northern European countries are just seen as a pushover. I'm sure there must be people out there. You mentioned George Soros earlier, but I'm sure he must have his advocates out there in the Middle East giving out flyers saying, come to Britain. Contact this.
Oh, I mean, they have to. I mean, and you just look at the networks where everything comes together. You know, as an example, you know, we know the Jewish role in pornography, for instance. And I remember being in Romania, and there were guys at the mall who were handing out pieces of paper to all the young women. And I asked some of my nationalist friends who were with me, you know, what's going on, and they just you know shook their heads and they spit on the ground and said, you know, those are those are the people working for the Jews to try and recruit our women into the pornography industry, and in many cases human trafficking, and that, you know, it's promoting that agenda that it's always you follow the money, you follow the influence. So whether it's the mass immigration issue, whether it's these social issues, whether it's pornography, it all ties back. And I think you're right that, you know, all of these people coming in the same way, the same time, being moved this way from the Middle East through all these countries that aren't at war to be able to get to Europe, that is coordinated. There is no way that is not coordinated. There's a lot of evidence out there for that. And to be able to understand, again, where the money is coming from. And they have to be recruiting these people because many of these refugees are throwing away their passports and other documents to say they're from Syria because they know they can come in. But they're from different countries. They're from countries aren't at war. I mean, that they're coming to exploit our system, and they're not even from an area that's been destroyed through the Zionist war machine. They don't even have that excuse to be coming here, but they're being able to come and be filtered through all these countries, across the water, and then be housed and get all the benefits, learn all the talking points. This is coordinated. This is a coordinated invasion of our homelands, and you would have to be crazy or blind not to see that.
Well, I watched a shot yesterday. It was about a minute and 20 seconds. It was just filming all the way along the queue of the people to come to Britain. And these were supposed to be Syrian refugees. And every one of them was a Negro. There wasn't a Syrian amongst them. They were all Negroes. And of course, they've all thrown their documents away, as you say, so that they can claim to be Syrian. And it, and another point, we, you know, a while back we were told, well, they're all actually male and they're all of military age. And what this means is, of course, that once they can get, if they do get into Britain, once they're in Britain, then they can say, well, I need to bring my family over and I need to bring over X, Y, Z. And this is why we get these unaccompanied migrants that are there. It's because their parents have abandoned them in whatever country. They've then got into Britain. And then once they're in Britain, they then say, well, you come along there now as well and say that you've been abandoned and you've got family in Britain and then we'll get you in as well. And of course, there's no real checks that can be done on this. They've said that
no, whatsoever. Not even on age. I mean, you can't even check how old someone is. Say someone's your son and they have no documents. Well, if we've got 25, 28, 30 year old men, being identified as 15 year olds, there's no checks whatsoever. This is just the beginning of the demographic invasion that we're facing. It really is just the spearhead. That, a million, 2 million, 3 million, that's just the beginning, because the system wants to displace us as quick as possible, to break down our national borders as quickly as possible. And we need to understand what their plans so we can properly counteract it, and then work with our nationalists in our communities and other nationalists around the world to fight back against this same enemy, this Hydra that's waging this war against all free peoples. We need to be able to fight back against it. And Sven, I wanted to ask you real quick, we got 5 minutes left in the show. Ask you real quick about a report that just came out that the British economy since Brexit has actually grown. So this all kind of ties in together about Britain reclaiming its sovereignty. And everyone said the economy was going to be done, everything was going to fall apart. But the report's coming out saying the British economy has grown since Brexit. Could you just speak on that a little bit? Because I think anyone who understands even basic economics understands the best thing for the people is nationalist economic policies. And even though Brexit hasn't been fully implemented, and obviously the leadership of the UK under Theresa May are not nationalists whatsoever, even just a slight lurch in the right direction benefits the everyday people of Britain.
Well, yeah, it's increased by, I think, about 1% is how much that it's increased by, which is the opposite of all the fear and scare stories that we've been told. It just highlights that everything the media tells us is a lie. I mean, everything that we've been talking about so far on the program shows you that what the media tells us is a lie about these migrants and these refugees. But they're also lying to us about what would happen if we left Europe, saying that the economy was going to crash and we'd be back into a recession again. Well, it hasn't. You know, the economy has increased by 1%. We've also had our greatest ever win in trophies at the Olympics. You know, this feeling of patriotism and this feeling of being proud to be British has filled the country, basically. And I think that, you know, it's like a Brexit bounce, a positive feeling. When you think that this has been brought about by 17 million people voting for patriotism, voting for nationalism, voting for sovereignty of Britain to break away from the EU, then, you know, that makes me feel really proud to be British, especially of the Welsh and the English. It's a shame that the leader of Scotland, it seems to be causing as much problems as she can, and it's a shame that the mayor of London is a Pakistani who seems to think that London is a separate state or a separate country, and he's demanding to have a seat at the table and demanding to sit at the table in negotiations and have a say in foreign policy, and so is the leader of the Scottish National Party. So they've both got ideas way above their station. I mean, the English people don't have a devolved representative. The English people can't say, well, we want to have a say in foreign policy. You know, it's a British foreign policy, and the vote was a vote of the United Kingdom. It wasn't a vote for the Scots to say what the Scots want to do. It was a vote for the Scots to say what they want the United Kingdom to do. And the United Kingdom has voted to leave. So we have to, you know, they have to get on with it and accept that. And I think what's going on with that at the moment, I think Theresa May is quite right just to hold back until they work out everything that they want to do, everything that they want to ask for, before activating that Article 52, because I don't think this should all be done in a rush. We know it is going to happen. We know that we are going to leave the EU. I think she says she's going to activate that in March, I believe it is. If she doesn't, then I can see that we will have to put some pressure on her to do that. But I think it's acceptable to wait until then to work out everything that we want to ask for. And she has said that, you know, we are going to have to stop the immigration. We do have to stop the free movement. And which is what everybody wanted. And yet you've got the head of the devolved administration in Wales saying, oh, well, we're going to ignore what everyone voted for. The voters were stupid, pretty much, is what the head of the Wales one has said. And the Scotland one has said, well, we're going to ignore it as well. We want more immigration. So what that shows you is that these other parties are completely ignoring what the voters have voted for. And I think Theresa May knows that... That the country is leaning towards nationalism. So she is sort of leaning towards stopping the immigration, bringing in this policy with the grammar schools, again, which is a pretty much a nationalist policy. It's about giving the people with the best aptitudes the best education. It's against what the left wants. So I think it's almost like in the 70s when the Tory party could see that the country wanted to vote nationalism, and they could see that the National Front was going to get in there. So they sort of changed their policies, changed their rhetoric. But of course, once Thatcher got in, she didn't actually make good on it. So the challenge now is to make certain that Theresa May makes good on it, and that we keep pushing the Conservatives to go further towards nationalism, because we haven't actually got any credible nationalist parties. But we have got UKIP, and David Nuttall has now put in for the leadership, and I think he's pretty good. He's I've heard him speak before, and he was the one that I would have said is probably best placed to take over from Nigel. So hopefully we might see something from him. But if we don't, then, you know, we've just got to keep pushing the Conservatives in the direction they're going, because I think it's not too bad a direction, all in all. It could be a lot worse, Matt. That's my opinion on it anyway.
Well, I agree. And as my final thought for the day, I think you're right. This is a war against the reactionaries and the Conservatives, because they're the ones who are standing in the way. Most people support nationalism. They support the idea of faith and family and folk. And it's the Conservatives that stand in the way of that. They're the ones that work with the left, work with the globalists time after time, but trick our people. So we've got to destroy the Conservative movement and build true nationalism and hold them accountable and keep pushing the open window to the right towards nationalism. And if we can do that, it's going to be a very exciting time, because nationalism is on the rise, and nationalism is going to win. So Sven Longshanks, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here for another edition of The Daily Traditionalist. And I'll be back with a special interview tomorrow with Jeff Scoop of the National Socialist Movement. So looking forward to that. And I will see you guys tomorrow. So have a great day. And as always, hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.